This episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You is brought to you by Chris Clem.
Oh no, it's Gojira.
No, that is a no wizard.
Oh, it's just a fat New Western goober.
What you want, fat man? Micah Bowser? Here in New Orleans. Go away.
Is a Mike Bowser.
Very powerful wizard.
Meanwhile, in the Big Easy.
Boy, oh boy. I sure do enjoy being a writer down here in New Orleans. Nothing could ever bring me down. Oh no! It's Chris Clem! You will not destroy my village, you beast! Be gone with you back to Chicago! Oh no, he's too powerful! Curse you, giant! Your precious PH Comedy Theater will not survive the month! Ha ha ha! You'll never make another house team, you brute! Enjoy your sports ball minicast, sucker!
That's Chris Clem!
This is John Bruton. You're listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Hernando Diablo.
Hate Flow Through You, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Hernando Diablo.
And this week we're talking cash money. That's right. The finances of this little thing that we like to do. Joining us this week is Lousy Weather Media main show superstar and chief operating officer.
The big boss man.
The only man that I call boss. This is Sean Ast, everybody.
Hey, guys.
Welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for inviting me to Milky Way.
You're very welcome. We appreciate having you here. So, Sean, we have a complicated topic to get to together, and I have named it thusly. Why do you hate artistic cheapskates?
That is a good way to put it, because all day I've been like, people slash artists who don't respect art as a service. And yeah, that's a long title. Yeah. So yeah, that doesn't fit. But I've always been somebody who supports people. And when people expect their friends who are good at something to do it for them for free, I think it's bullshit. And that's probably something, like, I've been wanting to come on the show for a while. So I've been trying to really think of something I hate. Mm-hmm. And people are like, oh, Sean, you get mad about shit all the time. You're always yelling about intercoms and cold ketchup and things like this. But like, how long can I go on about intercoms? How long can I go on about cold ketchup? One thing that pisses me off historically more than anything is people who either A, think they deserve shit for free, or B, people who don't respect the hard work others put in to make themselves established artist.
Yeah, it is a problem. And the example that you brought up, I think, is when people expect their friends who are photographers.
Yeah, photographers get hurt the worst with this.
Yeah, they really do.
I'm interrupting. I'm taking over. All right, just interrupting. We have a friend, Dominic, who's been doing some photos for us at the comedy shows and whatnot. And, like, you know, I mean, he's still like a new photographer. They call him greener than goose shit in the pro wrestling world. But he does good work. And he would come over and take pictures of us for free. but I would never ask them to.
Right.
You know, it's like, no, you're going to come over and I'll give you $20 to fucking take a picture of us, you know?
Yeah. That's I did the same thing when I helped run The Kill Room when it was a weekly showcase. I would pay George Dunn to come in and shoot everybody.
Weird.
He looks like he would shoot everybody.
Yeah, but it was, you know, it's just, it's important because, and the problem that a lot of people have is they think that this is just the process of becoming an artist is you have to do free work in order to get the paid work. But the problem that I keep seeing is that people do all this free work and then that expectation remains.
So, and they would pay like, I can't name a big photographer, but you know, if some popular photographer,
Laura Wimbles,
there you go. Somebody would be like, oh, well, I'll give her $5,000, but I won't give my homie $20 because he's my homie. And that's just not fair in the scheme of.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, I've seen you can cut deals with your homies, but you still got to give them something. And it's very difficult for people to get past that.
Wedding photography, I've noticed, is always a big one where people are getting married and they know their buddy with a really nice Canon who does like graduation photos here and there. So they're like, all right, well, he'll shoot the wedding. We'll just bring him out there and get him drunk. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's not how it works because, yeah, he's going to shoot the wedding, but then he has 1,500 photos that he's got to go through, pick the 20 good ones, edit, develop. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's time consuming. They might be your homie. They might enjoy doing it. I've been saying homies.
Homie.
Homie, yeah. This is a Juggalo podcast.
Get him!
So anyway, if you're thinking like, well, this is my homie, they like doing this. This is their passion. This is their art. They'll just do it for me. And it's not always like that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's like that in comedy too. I'll see a lot of postings for what are supposed to be gigs. And it's for a charity event or something like that.
Yeah.
And so we're looking, there's no pay, but you get like X amount of time and a meal. And it's like, no, like, I did acting out the Derek Hess's festival regarding mental health and addiction. Mm-hmm. We're both dual diagnosis people with the same dual diagnosis, so that was cool. But they still paid me.
Yeah,
it was it went to NAMI, but they still paid me out. Mm-hmm. Like the budget for your show, if you're doing a charity event, you can't necessarily get people to donate their time. Especially if you want it to be good.
When these Republicans are doing fundraisers and shit and they bring in Third Eye Blind to play, they still pay Third Eye Blind. Like, I mean, they're not coming to do that charity fundraiser for free.
No.
Let's do a better example. When Bill Clinton's doing the 1992 Democratic National Convention, he's still paying Fleetwood Mac to come.
John Kerry paid Bruce Springsteen. Like, I mean, it is what it is. But, I mean, where do you think, I mean, especially, like, on the level we're at, like, this is, like, something I'm curious about.
Okay.
Where does it start? Like, where does it start with these people, like, just assuming, I guess you kind of already answered it. I mean, you just get your friends to, like, try and do something.
Yeah.
It's like, but, like, for example, like, the comedy basement shows that you do, basement comedy shows, whatever, like, you walk around that fucking place, like, give me fucking money
with
to pay
tip
these
jar,
to pay these people.
I walk around with it on my head going, come here to your bear money.
I mean, it's different in music because, like, I mean, I used to promote, you know, shows and shit. And, you know, it's pretty agreed upon for the most part that the money that you're going to get is going to the touring band.
Yes.
Like, it's pretty much generally assumed that. But, like, when you're doing something like that where you're getting mostly local guys, I mean, I know there's, like, been road comment or, you know, guys on the road that come do the show. Like, dude, I mean, they got to get paid.
Yeah.
You know?
And some people have expectations higher than what they should be.
Oh, without
and that's,
a doubt.
That's another part of it when I was talking about how artists who don't respect their art as a service, where they go, oh, well, I'm not going to do that show because there's not enough. When they're a hungry artist, I understand if you're a little more established or whatever, but if you're a hungry artist, how can you be like, well, I'm not going to do that show. I'm not going to do that podcast. I'm not going to do that. That's below me. I hate people to think things below them. So sometimes we got to juggle expectations with that, you know, where it's like, okay, well, you're worth about $100, and they go, well, no, I'm worth $150 plus food, catering, and clean linen. And you're like, well, no, not really. You
later.
Know what I mean? You know, you have to juggle that type of stuff. You know, I don't expect you to pay your best friend fucking $2,000 when he's greener than goose shit at photography.
Right.
But at the same time, they deserve something. Their art is worth something. Like there's other things too. Like we've been only talking about photographers, like graphic designers.
Right.
I need a flyer. I need a logo. I need this. I need that. And it's like, and they're like, oh, well, this guy knows how to do it. He'll make it for me. And even if they will do it for you, you should still be like, here's a 20 spot for doing it.
Yeah. Or you talk price beforehand,
mm-hmm.
Which I've always done.
Yeah.
Although it's like sometimes I'll get unsolicited art and I'll be like, hey, like this is amazing. Like how much do I owe you for it? And I'll be like, don't worry about it.
I think a lot of it comes with age too. I mean, I was a shithead back in the day. Like when it came to like paying for shit, always trying to get out of it.
Try to get the deal and get something for free.
Without a doubt. And I mean, that's definitely how I was. The way I did it.
Free is good. Don't get me wrong. Free is awesome.
I made people like me enough to be like, oh, here you go. But it's like, I mean, I fuck that. Like, I'd rather pay for somebody's shit now because it makes, not only does it make them feel good, like, oh, wow, they respect me enough to actually, like, care about what I'm doing, but it also makes you feel good inside, like, holy shit, I'm supporting my friend or just even this artist that I really like.
There's another one that's something that I'm sure Pete Milk will
know about.
And that's thank you for, because I was fishing for that sentence and I was like, I have no idea where I'm going with this. He is recording people, and now that recording can be done by anybody, like anybody can Google and learn and fucking steal Cubase off Pirate Bay, you know what I mean? Like anybody can do these things now for $100 basically, and fucking then start recording people. So it's kind of undervalued recording where people are like, well, it's not worth paying $20 an hour or whatever to sit and do something like we're doing right now. You know what I mean? Where people are seeing it like, oh, well, you should just do it. Or you should just like, it's, you like recording. Why don't you just record?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I live with a guy that recorded, and that was how he made a large chunk of his money. It's a very involved process.
Very.
And in order to do it correctly, it's worth the money.
Especially the post-production is, look, a lot of times what hurts is like the people come over and they track and, you know, it can take, the good people, they can come over and do a rap song in an hour or something, you know what I mean? Right. But I'm taking another 5 hours to go through and cut out, you know, fucking breasts or line up ad-libs and dubs and fucking the whole deal, put the you know, plugins and make it sound like a fucking CD quality song instead of some J-Brone shit you recorded on a computer.
Right.
You know, and since that's why I've always stayed away from recording people for money. Like I did it a little bit, but you have people who you say, okay, well, I'll do it for like $20 a song or something. And then they come over and they get drunk and they're in your house for 4.5 hours and they barely get a song done. You're like, well, if you would have went to the studio, that would have cost you fucking $300.
Yeah.
To do this shit. And you just wasted my fucking time. So I've always kind of gone with recording people for free just because I like recording and I'm working with my friends.
Yeah.
But I do it very minuscule. Like I only do it for a handful of people. And even then, I'm screaming at them about how they ain't taking their shit serious because they're spending 4 hours getting drunk on.
I've been there for things like that.
So you understand my hatred.
Yeah.
And that's the other side of the argument, what I was saying when we, how did you put it? Cheapskate financial.
Artistic cheapskates.
Artistic cheapskates. It even happens with artists where they're like, well, what do you got better to do? It's like, I could lay on the fucking couch and watch What Culture WWE for the next 10 hours, and it will be better than dealing
and
with
smoke
you.
Smoke yourself stupid.
Yeah. Like, that's what I have better to do. Like, live.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
instead
or not.
Of,
yeah. Yeah.
Like I love recording. I love manipulating audio. I love doing that stuff, but it's still work. And it's like, and fuck you for, you know, and that was one of the things that I've said to Devin when he came on our podcast is I was like, well, I was listening to Second Shot. And George straight up says, like, I ain't paying somebody $20 just to record. Yeah. He was like, fuck you. Pay the man.
Yeah.
If you want a good fucking recording, pay the fucking man. You know?
Yeah, you hear that crisp sound that crisp of clean. My voice right now? That's all thanks to Pete
that's
Milk.
That's a specific reason why all...
That's Pete saying pay the man, and he's right.
That's a specific reason why we fucking have picked the shows that we put on our network, is we're not going to put something that fucking sounds like fuzz.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even though, because stuff has developed. We have episodes from 2013 that sound like fuzz, but stuff has developed. People have LTE everywhere now. You know what I mean? People have Wi-Fi fucking in every McDonald's and Borders. You can download. You don't have to make the podcast so small so that people can get 3G when they're in the woods anymore. Right. You know what I mean? That's not a problem for people like it used to be. For the majority of people, we've all kind of developed. So, yeah, I mean, pay the man. Get some good quality fucking audio. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, especially if you're trying to put yourself out there as a commodity, it has to be, like, worth it. Like, if you're going to, let's go to the comedy example. If you're going to charge $150 to do a show, it better be a $150 show. It better not be 10 minutes of material and 45 minutes of you drunk riffing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just not, you know, you have to take what you're selling seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And
value it accordingly. Like, I always tend to undervalue just a little bit. Like, if what I do is probably worth $30 an hour, I'll charge 20. You know what I mean? So I always kind of, I'm that type of guy, though. I'm nice.
I always feel like shit charging people for anything that I do, but that's just because, like, there's something in the back of my brain that goes, but you're doing this because you love it, and you're doing this to make art, and, like, Fuck the money and just do the thing.
Well, when we get our shirts, a couple of them will go out for free. The rest of them, you're fucking paying for them.
Yeah.
Because those are the kind of things, like that's kind of what I wanted to talk about was people don't understand, like, you want to be a cheapskate, you don't want to give your $5 donation at the door to go watch four bands that you are here to see and get drunk while you do it. Somebody opens up their house to you to go do that. Well, I hope you understand that this money, you know, T-shirt money, any kind of merch you do, whatever, the $5 you're going to pay to see that band, that keeps the machine going.
Only goes into bands. And at the same time, they're not only selling T-shirts to make that money, they're fucking taking money out of their own pocket.
They're selling those T-shirts to make their money back that they paid for the fucking T-shirts and the gas to get there.
Now, like, there is something to be said for, you know, earlier I had said, you know, don't, if you're an artist, don't be above too much. You know what I mean? Like, I always tell Slim, for people who don't know, Slim's a rapper who's on our podcast. He's a good friend of mine. But he tries to say that these shows at the Vortex concert clubs blow him. Like, oh, well, you know, those are like Juggalo style rappers or 3-6 Mafia style rappers or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like, and they're just shit shows or whatever. And I'm like, well, go be the best of the shit show. Like, go win people over. Like, well, you're not above that. You're not. You just go fucking do it. And if you feel like you are, if you go do it and the show fucking sucks and it's not worth it, which is what happened with me when I was growing up in bands, was you would book a show at Peabody's and you would have to sell 10 tickets and then you would be stuck up in the rock star at the same time All Shall Perish is fucking playing on the main stage. You know what I mean? So you're playing for four people who are just four dads who, you know, their kids are downstairs.
Well, the way that place booked, the way Gorilla Productions booked is dog shit, and I think it's an absolute terrible bit.
These were just the regular Peabody's venue bookers. I always stayed away from the Gorilla thing.
But I just don't respect that business model at all.
Exactly, which is what I was getting at. So we were tired of getting fucked around on that. So what we started doing is, okay, we're going to rent out a VFW hall, find somebody with a PA, rent their PA, and do a show. Mm-hmm. We're going to call Euro Gyro and say, hey, can we have the place Friday night? We bring our own PA and fucking do a death metal show. We would. That's how we started doing shows. We stopped doing Screwy Louie's, where the fuck that place was called, in Kent. You know, we stopped doing that. We stopped doing fucking any of the Akron places. We stopped doing Peabody's. We stopped doing those fucking shows and only did DIY. Yeah. And then it got to the point where we still stayed busy. And then those clubs, the Outpost, all those places started calling us and going, you don't have to sell tickets. Just play third to last. You know, play before the fucking touring band or something, you know what I mean? And
well, it was just exactly where you want to be stuck in a show if you're a local band.
So it was like we were able to say, no, we're going to go do our own thing and get respected enough for it and build enough of a fan base to come back and be picked, you know what I mean? To stop having to fuck around with the bullshit of those shows. So it's all about just don't be above anything. Instead of if you don't like that shit, if you don't like the Vortex shows, don't do them. Call the Euro Gyro and book your own. Call other artists and say, hey, I got a venue. Can you do this? Like, I was 14 years old fucking calling venues and getting the fucking Voodoo booked and then fucking calling Salt the Wound and all these fucking people. But like 14 years old booking a fucking show so my band could have a show.
Yeah.
I fucking booked it and, you know, and it took that mentality forever. And as you said, like, all the merch and stuff goes right back in. You're putting in your own money at the same time too. It's never, if you go to a show and don't ask your fucking friend, give me a t-shirt. No, buy the fucking shirt.
Yeah.
Because it's going to put gas in their van to fucking send them to Erie, PA for their first out of state show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's going to send them to on a 3-day tour for a weekend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's going to further their development as long as they respect their craft, which is the opposite end of the argument. As long as they respect their craft and they take that money and put it in their thing and they don't think they're above touring and playing for three people, you know what I mean?
Like, well, and like we were saying before about like t-shirts and shit, like, you know, everybody puts their, you know, everybody, you know, divvied up between the four band members or five band members, whatever. Once those t-shirts get made and you start selling them at shows, I'm going to venture a guess. I'm going to low estimate on this one. DIY bands, 80% of the time, you don't get your money back. That's band money.
Yeah,
like, so you're investing in your band from the get-go.
And when you're a DIY band, you're paying $4.50 a shirt and selling them for $5.
Right,
you know what I mean? So
you're
just trying to get the product out there, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it's comedy merch. It's like I see guys with just text on their shirt selling it for $20, and I want to punch them. But, you know, at the same time, it's like, well, if people will pay it, then they're going to do it.
Yeah.
And, there is that mentality is like, we want to
get a new
you.
Lousy Weather Media shirt of just text on lousyweathermedia.com for $20. No.
Did you guys just print the white ones?
What's up? We only had, Mike just printed a couple us off air, but I, off air, we're on air, off the record.
Right? Yeah.
No, Mike just printed some crew shirts for the 200th episode, and then we're going to, because he had some cheap...
I'm just saying I can't wear white.
He has some cheap shit he wanted to get through. So we're gonna do a ball quarter soon.
Fuck yeah, no, I'm stoked.
Yeah, I can't wait. I want one of those. Even if it's white. my shirts are white and I realize what a mistake that was when at the first Funny Stop show I opened up the punch and it exploded on my nice white shirt. I was like, God damn it. Now I got to expense another shirt.
Yeah, because those you might get the stain out, but it's discolored from now on.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, that's no fun. But no, I mean, there's another problem that you run into where people keep asking to get guest listed on shows.
Yes, and I'm guilty of that semi. I have... there's a guy named, is really good dude. He's a friend of mine. His name's Ian Bear. Name drop. Pick it up for me, Jordan.
Yeah,
so it's a heavy one, ain't it? he's another one. Like, okay, you know how I'm Now I'm getting into a backstory. So I'll get into the backstory in a second. Anyway, he's the singer of a death metal band called Rings of Saturn now.
Okay.
So there's not one time that Rings of Saturn has come to town that I'm like, hey, Paul, hit up Ian to see if we get guest listed. Mm. And Ian has always guest listed us. So you know what I mean? It's never been an issue. But I definitely feel that. I'm like, oh, should we just pay this time? Like, we always, yeah. You know what I mean? But it's fucking awesome. Anyway, what I want to say about his backstory is, but I kind of get misconstrued by people thinking that I'm like, because I yell at people constantly when I'm like, so what are your plans this year? You're going to go on tour when on the main show when we have bands. Yeah. And I'm like, you're going to go on tour? And they're like, no, touring's not worth it. So, and I'm like, well, okay, why not? Like, you go and you got to book it right, obviously. You have to get yourself on shows. But Paul's band, Leota, is a perfect example of touring being worth it. They went through an implosion, got all new members, and then went on tour and have been rebuilding that name to the point that they never come back in the what do they call it, in the red? Is that what, when you come back negative? They never come back in the negative. They're always in the black.
Yeah.
There we go. I got financial terms here. I mean, they can go. They got their records being featured by some labels and shit on Spotify. You know what I mean? It's perfect groundswell by only touring and DIY style. But then you have other people who, like Ian Bear, he fucking did YouTube videos.
Yeah.
And he basically won a YouTube contest and got to become the singer of Rings of Saturn out of it. And that, and people go, oh, well, that's bullshit. He, you know, he fucking didn't have to put in the hard work or this and that. It's like, no, he did. He would fucking do YouTube covers every single fucking day, getting his voice better. He would edit them, put it online, fucking his standing in his mom's kitchen. You know what I mean? He put in that work. And he deserves what he gets back from it. And
absolutely.
You know what I mean? So there are different ways to do it to accomplish the same goal. You just have to put in the fucking work. I hate people that don't, that expect that shit can come to them.
Yeah. No, it's...
Nobody's going to find you in Cleveland, Ohio.
Sometimes you walk into it. Like, you can walk into something cool, but it very rarely just comes right to you.
No, it doesn't.
Very rarely does somebody hit you. You don't have the Chanel West Coast story where it's just like somebody hit her up on fucking MySpace and you find out that you live across the street from Rob Dyrdek. You know what I mean? Like, not everybody has that fucking story. So you have to put in the time and work.
Without a doubt.
As I drop Chanel West Coast knowledge. That's the first time she got name dropped on this podcast.
Without a doubt.
Can you pick that one up too?
It's over there.
That one's a lot.
Sweep it up.
sweep it right under the rug. Yeah. Yeah.
There we go. Comedy-wise, I think a lot of people that start out because, you know, you see it on TV first or you hear it on record first and they think that the process is... Because you see a lot of these short sets on TV, so the process...
Yeah, like the remix shows and stuff, premium blend shows and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so the thought is that if I just do this, the right person's going to see me, and then I'm going to fucking go do all this shit.
Be the next Dane Cook or something.
Or somebody's going to notice me and then take me on the road.
Yeah. And that's why I've always respected Dwayne Duke one of the most out of everybody, because as soon as I've met him... You never know where the fuck that guy's going to be from week to week. He's in Alabama. He's in Arkansas. He's in fucking, Wyoming.
Florida.
Florida. I mean, he goes fucking everywhere, and he does it, and he doesn't call himself a nationally traveled comedian or whatever the fuck Sean Boyd's catchphrase is. But he doesn't. But he's out there fucking doing it. Every fucking week that dude's out there doing it and getting better.
Yeah. He's definitely...
You know, and that's what you can respect. I want somebody who fucking... If I were to fucking start doing comedy, I would hang out here for easily a year or something, and then I would be doing open mics every fucking weekend on the road. I can do my hometown a couple nights, and you could do Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Fucking just go. Why not? Just put yourself in the Honda Civic and fucking go.
Yeah.
You know, if you have family and you have this, and I understand people staying local for a reason, but if you have the aspirations to be somebody, if you have aspirations to be on fucking Conan, if you have aspirations to be on fucking I was about to say Letterman. That dates me. Colbert. You know what I mean? Like, if you have aspirations to be on that shit, you have to fucking go out there and do it. You're not going to fucking... You have to go to New York. You have to go to L.A. You have to go to Chicago. And it's the same thing in music. If you want to be fucking the next, I don't know, fucking Devil Driver or some random metal band or whatever, you have to fucking pack up the van and go to Los Angeles. And come back and go to fucking New York. And you have to go to Florida. And you have to go to fucking Fort Wayne, Indiana. Like, you gotta go to all of them. It don't fucking matter.
The only way you get your name out there, like, I remember that episode you were talking about of the main show when...
It was Takeoff Charlie.
Yeah, and like he was like, oh, it's just not worth
it. Which I love those. Those guys are one of the best.
Oh, no, nice kids and everything. I pulled him aside because the comedy show was like the week after that episode aired. And I was like talking to him and, you know, just kind of picking his brain a little bit. And he said something similar. And I was like, no, you have the wrong fucking mentality,
dude.
They're
one of the best bands to come out around here. And they're like 22, 23 now. Yeah. You know, and they're so young. They've been on Fox 8 already. You know what I mean? They've done like 3 songs. They're kicking it with Wayne Dawson and shit. So like, and that's, if you know anything about me, that's like, I'm like, oh, you were on TV with Wayne Dawson? Like,
you love your local.
Oh, so yeah, fuck. I like Wayne Dawson, man. I'm all into that. My dad got to meet Wayne Dawson at a fucking casino in Niagara Falls, like betting on football and shit. It's like,
oh, yeah.
As soon as I see Wayne Dawson, there's another girl that fucking does, she does fashion blogging that I know. I think it's called the Midwest Muse or something like that is her blog, but she was on Fox 8, and I was just like, I just messaged her like, you were hanging out with Wayne Dawson. She's like, I don't even know who that is. I was like, that's the guy you were just with. Like, I'm freaking out. But anyway, back to Takeoff Charlie. Yeah, they're one of the best fucking bands, and they're so young. Like, you are so young. Like, you work at a car dealership. Like, I understand, like, that might be a little bit better job than me at the gas station, but...
I told him, dude, I was like, you don't have to, you don't have to outright tour right off the bat, but I was like, every weekend, you know, like,
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it doesn't even have to be every weekend. When we were in Under That Sky, it was once a month.
Yeah, but you should constantly be doing that. It's like, you know, all right, so 1 month, you go do, you know, Pittsburgh, Philly, Buffalo, or you go do Indianapolis, Detroit, and Kalamazoo.
We would do the fucking Western Pennsylvania like crazy. Just like every month we were doing home to make money, and then you do Erie, Pittsburgh, fucking, and then like Columbus, and then home, or vice versa, and fucking, or, and then the little surrounding towns, Corey, Pennsylvania, outside of Erie, or Natrona, outside of Pittsburgh, and you do these little fucking towns and shit, and you play for these kids that are, they're 5 minutes from home. They're not in a fucking club. They're at the pizza shop watching a death metal band. And you play to those fucking kids. And then when you finally, and this happened to us, finally a year later when you go back, you're being asked to headline as a fucking out-of-town band in Erie. We headlined this place called The Crooked Eye and fucking had a good number of kids that were singing every fucking word. And I'm like, how do you even have these lyrics? How do you even know these lyrics? It's not like our lyrics are on the internet. Like, how do you even know this shit? And I'm sitting in a green room getting to smoke weed backstage and eat fucking pie that Black Flag left the day before. You know what I mean? Like, and it was just that come up is what a year of hard work can do. Only a year for, like, is liked as my band Under Dead Sky was. We mediocre, you know what I mean? Like, we were really good, and there's people that think we were really good, but put us up against After the Burial. No, put us up against As Blood Runs Black. No, we're not on that level, and we never were. But we were able to fake it enough that people liked us, you know what I mean?
Fake it till you make it.
And that's why I take it to heart so much when Takeoff Charlie says they don't want to tour, or Slim says he doesn't want to do that, because those motherfuckers are better than I could have ever been as an artist.
Millennial fucks.
Yeah, those, you know?
I mean, even though I'm you and millennial. Me, no, we both are. We are both millennials.
I remember I used to be able to think I could make fun of millennials because I was like, oh, I'm Generation Y. And then I looked it up and found out that Generation Y is millennial. And I was like, motherfucker. Yeah. Anyway, the reason why that shit pisses me off so much when people won't do it is because, like, I never was... I tried my hardest to fucking do it and wasn't quite good enough, you know what I mean? I've transitioned into a new role, and I almost feel like I'm better at this podcasting and doing this shit than I ever was. But I took everything that I learned from being in a DIY band and put it into this podcasting. We do a band drive every fucking week where even if I can only put in a dollar and this person can put in 20, we're all still donating every week into Lousy Weather Media so that we can fucking buy the stuff we want, launch the things we want to try and grow the company. You know what I mean? We put in the effort. Every morning I wake up, I'm on social media on fucking five accounts. You know what I mean?
I mean, you opened the door. Like I mean, you just opened the door for so many fucking people in the last, not even a year.
And it came from people opening the door for us, too. You know what I mean? If Eric Brewer and them would have never come on our podcast in the early fucking days, I would have never started going to comedy shows.
Right.
If fucking I wouldn't have known Tom Nelson from being in a band, I wouldn't have, you know, asked him to come do a comedy show at my house.
Yeah.
If fucking Anthony Savat would have never came over, we probably would have never got the whole slew of Stone Tavern fucking crew that, you know, we ended up interviewing. So those people open doors for us, and we're just putting it right back into, like, this is a whole new creative outlet for us to be a part of, you know?
That's why I love asking certain people to, like, be on this show, like you know, Jesse, when he was on the show, Tough Stuff artist. Like, you know, he's great on Instagram, dude. Like, he fucking hashtags the shit out of his shit. Like, it gets, gets likes and stuff, and he's great. He's fucking awesome.
Some people
but, like,
are really good
like,
with social media.
Having him on here is, like, I hope that at least open it up a little bit more to, like, people are like, oh, I'm going to check this out. And then, like, getting to post the artwork like he did of Shear sleeping with the trash can.
Oh, that's who's doing those.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's my buddy Jesse. It's like, I mean, I love being able to, like, people who don't really or normally wouldn't put their voice out there in a certain way. You know, I love being able to facilitate that.
Yeah, we've always taken that in our podcast, too, about, and this will come back to cheapskate artists or whatever, but we didn't want to stick only music and comedy. We're only our musician friends. We wanted business owners. We want photographers. We want video game Twitch players. We've interviewed them all. We had a fucking girl who was trying out to be a suicide girl in early days, and she, like, we've interviewed. It's cool people doing cool things was the idea. So you get a good cross section of listeners too by bringing those people in and whatnot. And what'll happen, though, when it comes back to cheapskate artists is it gets a little annoying when you ask people to come on and they're either like, A, no, they don't reply to you or anything like that. And, yeah, I mean, I know we just do a fucking podcast in my living room and it's not going to grow you that much, but it might grow you to one or two people. Getting involved in our crowd isn't a bad thing.
No, it's really not.
So, that's kind of the way I look at it. And when one or two people have either, like, we've even had people call us and say they're on their way and then just never show up and shit like that. And it's like, you want to say to them, it's like, how the fuck do you think this is below you? You know what I mean? Like, you honestly putting yourself out, any press is good press. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You really think about it. So fucking come over and hang out. Even if you're like, I can only come for a half hour. All right, come sit in on the opening segment. You know what I mean? And fucking we'll bullshit. Or, you know, we'll record some other time. Get on Skype. Like, shit is not below you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I've been submitting to be on lots of podcasts, some that have very few listenership because every single amount of press and any chance that I get to make a new listener is something that I have to do.
And I mean, that's why fucking Jordan's like, he hits me up yesterday, like, can you come? I was like, I have a day off. Let me find out if I can borrow someone's car and I'll be there. Like, I will fucking, because if there's people that listen to your show and have never heard my show, I want them to be like, oh, I kind of like that dude's voice, or I kind of like his opinion or whatever. Because if you listen to my show, that's what it is. It's 2 hours of my fucking opinion, pretty much.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's a lot of Sean.
But yeah, I was cracking up yesterday because when we got done, I was looking at the waves. And now I got this nice console and I'm recording everybody on separate tracks and all this shit. So I can really look into the nuances of how much I talk compared to everybody else. I'm sure fucking Pete's gonna see it when he's done, when he's trying to edit this episode. But my track will just be one straight fucking bar. Yeah. Like, it's not even like a gap between words. And then, like, every once in a while, there's just like one little blip from every other microphone. Hmm. And it's just how much I go.
Every 20 minutes, there's Bob.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. He said something last night. A lot of times he says jokes and I don't catch them until the next day when I'm hearing back and shit.
It's because Bob is plank.
Yeah, I was telling a story about, I was talking about my teeth in the podcast, and I was talking about how grinding my teeth has kind of ruined my teeth more. I was mm-hmm. like, you know, grinding my teeth, because I never brushed before bed. I only brushed in the morning, and I always drank just Coca-Cola. Right. You know what I mean? Like Coca-Cola and shit like that before bed constantly. So grinding my teeth, and then I was like, and cocaine. By 2010, I had no teeth left. And then, like, later on in the night, something made me laugh so hard that I like, snorted fucking hard as shit. And I was like, that's the hardest I ever snorted. And Josie just goes, and Sean did coke. I'm like, that's fucking why our show is the show it is, you know?
Yeah, I love it. You really, if you haven't checked out the main show yet, it's on the Lousy Weather Media Network. You can really see what 3 years... It's congratulations on your 200th
episode. Yeah, that just 200 happened.
200 episodes last night.
The chemistry is evident, and it's entertaining, and it's probably my favorite show I've ever done.
Really? I appreciate that. You're somebody that's always bailed us out too. So, like, and that's one of the reasons why I respect the hell out of you. Going back to like how I was saying about Dwayne, anytime I've ever been like, "Hey, Jeremy, I had a guest cancel," he's like, "I'm on my way." Yeah. Like, no fucking questions asked. He came, got stuck in a traffic jam with you for fucking an hour and a half. Still had to drive you back to Cleveland afterwards. He hangs out with us for 3 fucking hours. You know what I mean? Like, that's dedication. That's hard fucking work. That's respectable. You know what I mean? That's not being a cheapskate artist, because that fucking, he understands that anything is good. You know what I mean? Whether fucking 50 people listen to that episode or 400.
Yeah.
Jeremy is the furthest thing from cheap on this planet. There's no cutting that around that.
Yeah.
He ain't cheap.
No, I'm not cheap, but my rates are. Speaking of rates, it's time to shout out the sponsors and such. Well, first of all, thanks to very much to Pete Milk at Milky Way Recordings. It's Homie for Homies here. And Sam Holmes, who did our logo. You can find her on the Instagram. It's at Sam Holmes. It's homes like you live in, not homes like you hang with. And then our Patreon sponsors, we have Chad Weaver, at Weaver Chad on the Twitter. Chris Clem of Chris Clem's Cavs Cast, at Chris_Clem. And Just Fall Stitch, at Epic Fall on the Twitter. And, of course, Britt Fox, X Fox Rocks, with an X. There's two X's in there, like she's in a hardcore band.
Fox Rocks.
You can always find...
on Snapchat and Instagram.
You can always find Sheer at Dirty Sheer on everything.
Let's talk about this real quick. I know I'm taking up time, but Fox Rocks, she fucking emailed me out of the motherfucking blue. She went to our website, obviously, found the fucking contact, emailed me and was like, "Hey, I would love to do any of your fucking shows. Like, I want to do the shows. I don't care which one it is. Here's stuff I hate. Here's stuff I can talk about for this show." I was like, "Okay, well, here's the Hate Podcast email. Go ahead and the Hate Podcast. Let the hate flow through you, you know, email. Hit them up." And fucking she went out of her way as somebody who doesn't know fucking any of us.
Oh, she was great, dude.
And hit you guys up and went and did your show just to spread her name around. And you know, same thing she's doing every week she's not being cheap. She's sponsoring your show to keep her name out there. And you know what I mean? That's how you're supposed to fucking do it. You know?
Yeah, that's definitely how you're supposed to do it. We have one final sponsor. It is Plight of the Stripper Herder.
Right. I heard about this. I'm interested in this. This piqued my curiosity last episode.
It is a wonderful blog written by a floor guy at a strip club, and it is all about his experiences as a floor guy and all that entails. You can find out at...
Not to interrupt, but now, was he working at like a nice upscale gentleman's club or a fucking titty bar?
We can't, an upscale gentleman's club, we can't say.
Yeah, don't say what name it is, but I mean, there's a big difference between a fucking, Christie's or Diamond and Hustler.
He ain't working at a shitty titty.
Compared to some of these bars with no stage. You know, it's just like one single bar with five chairs and a mirror. And you're like, what the fuck is this?
No. He was not like, you know, working the front room in ecstasy. Like, it wasn't anything like that.
Upscale is a little different. Like, yeah. I mean, you might still run into a lot of cocaine and heroin and shit.
If you listen to the main show, you'll learn that Sean knows a lot about strippers.
Sean loves strippers.
I don't
get to visit them nowadays as much as I used to. You know? Yeah. But.
Well, the stripper herder talks about his trials and tribulations with management, with strippers, with coworkers, with customers. It's all covered. For more, you can go to plightofthestripperherder.blogspot.com. And
where can people find you?
I'm at multiple places. Lousyweathermedia.com is the best place. I do two podcasts a week now. I do Lousy Weather Media, the main show, every Tuesday night, which we do live on our website. Most weeks, about 9:30. And then I have a wrestling podcast we do every Sunday with my friend Derek, which is kind of like the caboose of the network, like a little engine that could try to catch up. But we do a Twitter poll every week, kind of like Bruce Pritchard or them do with different topics. And then we review that show. And since me and Derek started doing that about 12 weeks ago, that's been some of my most fun, is like reviewing those shows and getting to unload my wealth of knowledge about wrestling that I fucking have. It's uncanny sometimes how much. And then I also will go into Jim Cornette impressions sometimes, you know, stuff like that. You motherfucker! Put some double cheese on the motherfucker!
What was the... wait, so you got lousyweathermedia.com.
Yeah, lousyweathermedia.com. But we do albums and stuff. We do podcasts, we do comedy shows.
It's a conglomerate.
The whole idea, Bobby Camparta made the idea up of Lousy Weather Media was going to be anything his friends wanted to put out, like, under a name, they could do it. If it was video, if it was music, if it was podcast, if it was going to be anything.
And there's plenty on the horizon.
Yeah, he had this little idea, and then when we started doing a podcast, we just used that name. As well, this is going to be the Lousy Weather Media main show. Like, this is what's going to drive us. This could be the flagship of everything we do.
And it is.
Yeah, so that's me. And I hate cold ketchup. I want to put that out there. Just leave your ketchup in the cupboard. It's way better when it's acidic. Like, I can't stand cold fucking ketchup. When you go to the bar, it's not fucking cold. We do a whole other episode right now, but we're not going to. I just wanted to put it out there.
Maybe a Patreon exclusive down the line.
Yeah.
Which you guys do also have a Patreon.
Patreon.com/LWMPodcast. I put up an exclusive and a classic content every single week on that.
And we got some shit going on.
Yeah. Well, let's investigate that. Jordan, I don't think we're going to find anybody that hates artistic cheapskates as much as Sean asked.
No, there is another. I won't apologize again. I'm a rapid offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep standing up and falling on my face. Drag me to the ring. Another discharge may burn. Daniel's in drunkenness. I keep a bruise in my brain. It's under the punches that I was meant to take.
This episode of Let the Hateful Through You is brought to you by Chad Weaver.
Big Mama, what's wrong?
Lord have mercy. I just saw teen comedian Chad Weaver on Sit Room Only, available on YouTube, and now my panties need wrang out.
Oh, gross, Big Mama.
I can't help it. That boy awakens things inside of me even hormone replacement therapy couldn't. I bet he good at sex.
Big Mama, that's clearly pee.
Get your finger out of my snatch, child.
Stay on the plastic if you're gonna watch Chad Weaver. I'm putting you in a home.
I raised your ungrateful ass. Now get Big Mama a towel. I'ma load up his tweeter. @WeaverChad.
Gross.
That's Chad Weaver.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.